Right. Which is your word?
What? My word is chain.
Okay.
Okay.
Please.
Well,
Camilla, go ahead.
I'm starting with the sound voices palette 12-year-old Africat. Which is, well, sounds in English are divided into counts into there are 24 consonantal sounds in English, and we can divide them depending on the noise component they make. We can divide them in obstruents and sonorants. In this case, it is an obstruent consonant because there is a complete closure at some point of the sound being produced, and there is a noise component, so it is an obstruent sound. Well, it is, at first, I will talk about the voice. It is voiceless. That means that the vocal cords are not vibrating. The vocal cords are not vibrating. I don't know why I wrote that there. The vocal cords are not vibrating, so they are in a held open position. In the case of being a voiced sound, which would be this one. The vocal cords would be brought sufficiently together to produce this vibration. Good. Or this voice. Well, it is palatovelvular. This is the place of articulation of the sound. The tip and blade of the tongue are making contact with the alveolar ridge, and the front of the tongue is making contact with the hard palate. And that's why it's called palatovelvular. And its manner of articulation is affricate, in which at some point of the production, the mouth the mouth is closed, and the second part of the sound friction is produced. The sound is produced with the friction. In the drawing, we can see how the soft palate or velum is raised, and this means that the air passes through the oral cavity and it cannot pass it through the nasal cavity.
Good.
Which is the way in which nasal consonants expel the air when the sound is produced. Okay, I will follow with the diphthong. A. Well, at first I would like to try to define the diphthong. It is a vocoid element. This means that it is the nucleus of the syllable. The diphthong consists in the production of the diphthong consists in articulatory trajectory in which there is a change of quality, and I can represent it in the vocal chart. The vocal chart is a representation of the vowel system. It was created by Daniel Jones, and it is the most satisfactory way of representing the vowel system, and it can be compared with the vowels of any language. The position of vowels or of vocalic element in the vocal chart shows two factors or two characteristics: the distance between the tongue and the palate, which may be closed, mid-closed, mid-open, or opened, and it's the vertical movement. And it also shows in which part the tongue makes contact with the roof of the mouth.
Is there a contact in the production of vowels?
No.
Okay, what do you mean? Yes.
In which part there is narrowing or approximation with the roof of the mouth, and it could be front, central, or back. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, it is a diphthong, and we can find vowel number 3, mm-hmm. which moves to vowel number 2, mm-hmm. the A. It is between the vowel number 3. It has its position between the mid-close and mid-open position and mm-hmm. front. And in this case, it is a closing diphthong. I mm-hmm. wanted to say this. It is a closing diphthong because the movement in the vocoid space occurs upwards. Mm-hmm. In the case of being, for example, the diphthong ear, mm-hmm. in which it would be a centering diphthong because the movement occurs from the periphery of the vocoid space to the central zone of it. All diphthongs in English are falling. Mm-hmm. This means that the prominent sound occur in the first moment, in the mm-hmm. first element. Mm-hmm. In the case of Spanish, for example, diphthongs may be raising or falling. Mm-hmm. Well, then we have the voiced alveolar nasal sound. Mm-hmm. In this case, it is voiced. There is vibration mm-hmm. in the vocal cords, vocal folds. Mm-hmm. This means that it is a Lenny's sound difference to the 40s. Mm-hmm. This has to do with the energy we apply to produce a sound. And voiced sounds are Lenny's because they have a weak energy. Mm-hmm. So I represented here how the vocal cords are vibrating. And in this case, as it's nasal, the soft palate or velum is lowered so that the air can escape through the nasal cavity and not through the oral cavity. Mm-hmm. It is alveolar. This is the place of articulation, and the tip of the tongue is making contact, in this case, with the alveolar ridge, mm-hmm. Such as in the consonant D and T, which are plosives. Mm-hmm. They have the same place of articulation, they are unorganic. The process I found it in this word could be nasalization, mm-hmm. because the diphthong is followed by a nasal sound, mm-hmm. So it acquires this manner of articulation. In terms of assimilation, I would say it is an allophonic regressive assimilation of manner, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Allophonic regressive assimilation
of manner. Mm-hmm. And it is allophonic because we can represent it with a diacritic, which is this one. Mm-hmm. Which is this one.
Yes.
The diacritic. And in this case, it's followed by a nasal sound, but it could be preceded or both. Mm-hmm. And then I think there is also pre-40s clipping, mm-hmm. which is a process that affects diphthongs and long vowels. Mm-hmm. When they are, in this case, it happens because it is preceded by a voiceless consonant, mm-hmm. and it is a diphthong, so it is affected by it. And the effect of this process is that it is shortened. That mm-hmm. what is called clipping, 3/40 clipping. I'm not sure. I cannot remember the diacritic of it. I think it was this one, because I remember
pre-40s clipping.
Clipping. I cannot remember. It was
the parentheses. The parenthesis on top.
Oh,
yes.
Because in the case of a long vowel, it would be like this.
Yes, only one of the length marks. Yes,
yes.
The dots for the length.
Yes.
Mark.
Well, in terms of assimilation, this process would be an allophonic progressive assimilation of voice. I think. I was confused.
Why progressive? Because if it is pre-fortis clipping, what is the diphthong anticipating? Because the diphthong is not affecting the consonant. I mean,
no,
that would be progressive.
True.
Yes, but same as manner. Yes,
uh-huh.
It would be
regressive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But in this particular case.
Okay.
Yes. Hay que pedir acá, me parece en la 103. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for pre-fortis clipping, we were saying that.
Well,
yes, from the point of view of assimilation.
Of assimilation, well, it would be. It is allophonic because
mm-hmm.
it is represented with a diacritic, and it would be allophonic, regressive
mm-hmm.
assimilation of the voice. I think that word was like,
exactly.
I was confused with voice,
yes,
because it is affected by the voice of the consonant.
Okay. You described the first segment as an obstruent.
Yes.
And then when you were describing the alveolar nasal,
mm-hmm.
you as well, I mean, talked about a complete obstruction at some point.
Yes.
Does that make it an obstruent?
No. It is a sonorant. The nasal sound, it is a sonorant because the air escapes through the nasal cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a sonorant sound and not an obstruent, which are the plosives, the affricates, and the fricative sounds.
Mm-hmm. What would be the difference between the affricate and the plosive?
Between the affricate and the plosive?
Mm-hmm.
In the plosive, there is a point in which the is compressed behind the mouth, and it is released explosively.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of, you asked me for affricate,
yes.
Right? In the case of affricate, there is a point which that is compressed, but it is released slower than in plosive, so it is not released explosively, and there is friction in the second part of the sound.
Okay. Now, can you think of any allophonic variant for the alveolar nasal segment? You were talking about how the nasal
mm-hmm.
affected the surrounding.
Yes.
Now, can you think of
yes.
allophonic variants for the alveolar nasal?
Perhaps
nasal. Not in that particular word, but
okay.
you might think of.
I could think in emission of the onset, maybe.
Uh huh.
For example, in. Doesn't what happened here it is that the alveolar nasal is followed by its homorganic plosive,
mm-hmm.
so there is the sound is not producing its three stages.
Mm-hmm.
There is an emission of the onset of the plosive,
mm-hmm.
so it is affected by it.
Yes.
An emission of the onset.
Can nasals be devoiced?
No, they can't.
There are some cases, yes.
There are some cases.
Mm-hmm. The same cases as for an aspiration.
When they are preceded by them. Voiceless alveolar fricative,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Exactly.
Yes, in the same cases as an aspirated is true. I didn't remember that. For example, in sneak,
mm-hmm.
for example, the nasal sound is devoiced,
mm-hmm.
and that is also which word did I say?
Sneeze. Sneak.
Sneak. It is an allophonic assimilation. It is shown via diacritic, which is this one.
Yes. Right. Very few sounds in English can take the position of vowels.
Approximate.
Can become very few segments in English can take the position of vowels, mm-hmm. yes, when they are not present in the syllable. Is the alveolar nasal one of them?
Alveolar nasal? I'm thinking of cases in which they can't occupy the place of vowels.
Of a vowel, yes, yes. I'm asking about syllabicity.
Syllabicity.
Mm-hmm. That's an allophonic process.
Yes. Yes, for yes, because the. I'm thinking of an example to explain it. Actually, syllabicity is not possible when there is a syllable with the nasal sound, right? I'm thinking of an example. For example, if I got here it is applied syllabicity. Because I emitted the schwa sound, and the syllable is allowed to be without a vocalic nucleus.
Exactly.
Yes, but if there is a nasal sound, it cannot be possible. I think.
Think of this. Think of this word, and the many possibilities.
Happen. Yes, it's true. In this case, syllabicity can be applied in this way. But it may be applied assimilation of place, and we can change the sound into a bilabial nasal, and that would be a case of phonemic, because there is a change in the phoneme. Directly.
What kind of assimilation? What kind of phonemic assimilation?
Phonemic progressive in this case.
Yes.
Assimilation of place.
Phonemic progressive
place.
Okay. What made possible the phonemic progressive assimilation of place? If we go back in
the fact that we applied syllabicity and we omitted the schwa sound.
Uh-huh. And how do we call that process? I mean, as you said, omission of the schwa.
Elision.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when does that happen? Or I mean, which sounds can be elided? Is there a particular situation for that?
Yes. There are some cases, some instances in which elision. Well, in this case, for example, the omission of the schwa is possible, because the syllable is also produced without this vocalic nucleus. And for example, in some cases, the voiceless alveolar plosive may be omitted as well. For example, I'm thinking of an example. Should have thought.
Can we elide any vowel?
Apart from the schwa?
Yes. Or why can the schwa be elided?
Um, the schwa can be elided because of the position, the place of articulation at the moment of producing the sound. It has a neutral position of the lips. So I don't know if that's the correct answer, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Candela, describe the concepts of phonetics and phonology.
Well, phonetics studies the general aspects of a pronunciation and, for example, the anatomical factors, the articulatory factors, and it deals with allophones, which are different ways of producing a single sound or a single phoneme. And phonology focus on single system of language, and it deals with phonemes, which are the sounds and the phonemes of a particular language. And I don't know what else to say.
Yes, and how they work in the system. Phonology would tell us, I mean, which sounds can be elided, how sounds modify according to the context, yes. All the processes that you described are allowed by the phonological system. Then phonetics would describe the realization of that and how we produce them. Last question.
Okay.
How are diphthongs classified? What do we take into account to classify diphthongs? I mean, you describe them. Now,
yes.
I would like you to put it all together.
The diphthongs are vocoid elements, which have the characteristic of having an articulatory trajectory.
This is one category, this is another category, and then there is a third one that you have not mentioned, yes?
Of diphthongs?
Yes.
Falling.
According to direction,
yes,
diphthongs can be fall closing or centering,
centering.
You describe them, yes, as such, but that is the direction,
yes.
That is the movement of from one element to the other, yes?
Yes.
Then you describe prominence and you said that English diphthongs are falling.
Yes.
And then there is another category, another parameter that is taken into account, which is distance.
Distance, it may be narrow or wide. It has to do with the distance, or the distance that the tongue does to produce the trajectory of the